State ascoltando SBS Italian. Questo è un podcast di Radio SBS in italiano. Io sono Magica Fossati. This is an SBS Italian podcast. My name is Magica Fossati. A volte ci capita di intervistare persone che preferiscono parlare in inglese. Per questo motivo questa intervista è integralmente in inglese. Joshua Santospirito has published a new graphic novel. It's called The Islands Where We Left Our Ancestors. And I met him at Coazit, Melbourne, where he set up an exhibition that is going to be on for about 4 months. I'm at Coazit, Melbourne, in Melbourne, of course, Carlton, with Joshua Santospirito. Ciao.
Ciao.
You're here setting up your exhibition, which is based on your latest book that we've already presented on our program. But let us hear a little bit about how it came to be again.
The book came to be because I think I was interested in Dad's exploration of his family history. And I made a book in 2015, a smaller graphic novel called Swallows, which was about the family history of migration to Melbourne and exploring ideas of what happens when people move to new places and start embedding their stories in the new landscape, or in this case, the city of Melbourne. And then I thought it would be interesting to explore why people leave places. And so this book is about a trip I made with both my parents to the Aeolian Islands to... In Dad's case, he was looking for his great-grandfather, Basilio Santospirito, and, you know, to try and find his gravesite, which we failed in trying to find it. But on the same trip, I was also thinking about how you connect to ancestors and finding out more about where they may have come from and migrated from to even go to the Aeolian Islands, and then why did they leave to come to Australia. And, I interspersed that story with family bickering and, traveling with your parents and sort of, you know, tried to make it quite amusing and fun, but also exploring sort of broad themes about human movement.
It's a graphic novel, and here at Coazit we can see some of the, we would call them tavole in Italian. How do you call them in English again?
Well, these are the original pages, but I guess you'd call them panels, yeah. Is what you're referring to. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can we have a look at them together? Because we're walking here at Museo Italiano in Carlton, and it's beautiful to see them after reading the book. You can really see, in a way, how you work. I guess you made a lot of sketches when you went to the Aeolian Islands.
Yes, I walked around with my sketchbook, and that sketchbook was a horizontal formatted book, and I think whilst I was... on the islands, you spend a lot of time staring at horizons. And I realized whilst I was making lots of sketches that the horizontal format kind of worked well for a story about islands. And so the book eventually mimicked the same shape as the sketchbook, which is good because I think a lot of the story is about the power of drawing as a way of understanding the world. And so I wanted it to sort of mimic the way a diary might read. Because I thought that was... part of the exploration was in the diary, but also just to give it a bit of a very, very personal touch. Yeah.
And what do we see here? Let's describe it for people listening to the radio or listening to a podcast. We can see a few drawings, only black and white here, ink.
Mm-hmm. These are inked pages on watercolour paper. In each of these frames, there's 9 pages, which are all excerpts from each chapter. I had originally intended to watercolour the whole book, so I inked it on watercolour paper. Thankfully, I came to my senses because I think that would have added another year or two of labour because comics take a long time to make. So I ended up taking this black line work, this ink that I drew directly on that paper and scanning it in and colouring it digitally. So when it came time to put up this exhibition, what I've got is just black and white art. That's the original art. Which I used a dip pen and ink and did a very, very old school, which was really enjoyable. And I really got to know the ink and the pen and the paper extremely on a very intimate level. So the artwork here is all black and white, but it's on a very, you know, nice creamy coloured paper, which I find quite pleasant to look at. And you can see the texture of the watercolour paper.
It's almost like we see the analog version of your book.
Yeah, it's quite a different experience. And you can see in some spots, you can see like splodges, which I, of course, have later on corrected in a computer, and, you know, lots of mistakes. I like when you see an exhibition of comic art because a finished comic is a book. So anytime you see the artwork on a wall, it's out of context. So it almost automatically the exhibition speaks to process and how the comic was constructed. So, yeah.
So, of course, this book is centred around your trip to the Aeolian Islands. Can you tell our audience who came first to Australia in your family? And is it just on your father's side or also on your mum's side?
No, mum's family are of Irish, English stock, and they came in the 1840s. On my father's side, in 1892, my grandfather came as a five-year-old. No, 1897, actually, he came, but my great-grandfather came in 1892 and paved the way for his family to come 5 years later. And I'm not exactly certain when my grandmother came, but it's a similar story in a similar era. The Aeolian Islands were, I don't think evacuated is quite the right word, but the almost, yeah. The population decreased very quickly because the monocrop that they'd been growing was decimated by a pest. So they migrated everywhere. And at that time, I think there was approximately 1,000 Aeolians living in the city of Melbourne. So there was already a community for them to move into in Melbourne. So they were fairly early immigrants from what was already known as Italy at that stage. So.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that someone like you, who grew up in Australia from parents who grew up in Australia as well, is still so connected to their roots or curious about them at least. Is that something that you find is quite common or is it a rare occurrence?
I'm not sure I do feel connected. In fact, I think that's the exploration of this book, is to figure out if I am connected. Everyone tells me my surname is Santo Spirito. So, like, everyone's like, oh, you're Italian or you're an Italian-Australian, which never rang true to me. So in some ways I was interested in those islands because I knew about them and I knew there was family history, but I feel like my connection has strengthened only because I've gone there, particularly with my father on this trip and then made this book to explore this. But I think another reason why I was making this book was because my very first book was about a cultural conflict in Australia with mainstream Australia and Aboriginal people. And I think in the making of that book, I was challenged to start exploring my own family history and started, you know, understanding that better. So I think I took that to heart and, I've been really trying to understand, you know, what makes me and my family and who I am tick within the context of this place that we call Australia, but which is actually many names and many countries. So I think I've become more interested and more connected through Dad's exploration of his search for family, I guess.
And Joshua, the second panel has a bit more colour. We can see a lot of blue, of course. You're in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. What are we looking at? I don't think this is part of the book, or is it?
It's not part of the book, but this, I've got a series of artworks on large watercolour paper. I've used ink washes and black line work, kept it fairly simple. These artworks are derived from a lot of the sketchwork from the book, kind of abstracted panels, horizons, using sort of, you know, very simple shapes, more to evoke, you know, some sort of contemplative thoughts about horizons and islands and ships and movement and how water moves. I think when you're on an island and staring out to the sea, you can sometimes see those amazing streaks through the ocean and you know that maybe 5 hours ago a boat went through there and, you know, that sort of challenges this idea that you can't sort of track things across water because you can see a quite clearly delineated path, you know, which comes in the wake of a boat. So I found myself thinking about a lot of that stuff on the islands and I thought it would be nice to make some large works.
We are at Coazit in Melbourne and the exhibition is not finished yet because you're setting it up. And it's going to be here for a few months, is that right?
Yeah, till late November, 4 months, which is a long exhibition. Still setting it up, still have to put up some labels to give some context. Yeah, but right now we're standing in front of some excerpts from chapter 2 where I get to the character of me, my avatar or whatever, meets the god of the winds, Aeolus, who the Aeolian islands are named after.
I was about to comment that you also put in your signature a bit of a reference there to the character of Aeolus, so the god of winds. What sort of role does he play in your story?
Well, we're standing in the foyer of Coasit and or the Museo Italiano, and over to my left is Dante Alighieri, who's, you know, his guide throughout the underworld was Virgil. I quite like the literary figure of the guide, and I think it's a great way to have a conversation with yourself and with the reader and explain things to the reader whilst just making it conversational. So, and I like the... You know, having gods in stories, I think they really speak to the landscape is speaking to us. And so I really wanted to have someone to explain the landscape of the islands and history, because there's a lot of history in this book. But I also wanted to make it funny. So I know I liked this idea that gods are, they may be a bit parasitic. They always sort of, they wouldn't exist without humans, and so they need us to feed off us. So the running joke in the book, or one of several running jokes, is that Aeolus is constantly asking me for stuff like, can I have another beer? Can I have a smoke? Can I have some you know, pecorino? I don't know, you know, all sorts of food. And so he brings a lot of fun to the book, I think, as well, whilst also giving me the occasional, you know, a dollop of wisdom.
Yeah. And of course, he is the god the islands are named after. Did you do a little bit of research on him to kind of create the character?
I mean, I've always known stories about Aeolus. So Dad always read to me ancient myths, and so the Odyssey was important. Certainly did a lot of visual research. Though, interestingly, once I published the book and gave it to my partner, Jo, to read, she met a friend of mine, Craig Sanrock, who lives in Alice Springs and is about in his 80s, a very cheeky man who I've done a lot of art collaborations with. And she asked me if I'd based the personality of Aeolus on him, which hadn't even occurred to me. But now I look at the picture, I'm like, well, he even looks a bit like my friend Craig. But, yeah, a lot of visual research. So he's based off a bunch of artworks that I found, who I have no idea who made these artworks. They're very old. But, yeah, so... But I sort of made the personality up in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. He is a funny guy in your book. Very inconsistent.
Yeah.
and very helpful for your story to move forward, I guess. Forward and back, in a way, because you move in time as well as in space. Is that right?
Yeah, I think comics as a medium is really good at that. Something about you can easily switch between one period of time from... to the next, just by switching from one panel to the next. And there's parts of this comic which I try to use the strength of comics, which is, you know, particularly in Reverie, where you've got sort of like a narration voice and lots of sort of images which aren't necessarily maybe disconnected to the voice, and so it creates almost a poetic kind of hum or something, which I think comics do really well. So I think they're really good for telling stories about immigration.
This is an interview with graphic novelist Joshua Santospirito that I recorded at Coasit, Melbourne. You're listening to a podcast by SBS Italian. My name is Magica Fossati. You're doing a bit of a tour of Australia presenting your book. I think this is the only exhibition, perhaps. But you're also doing a bit of a show. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I did have an exhibition in Hobart just... 2 weeks ago. I quickly packed it up and then sent it to Melbourne, so I'm now setting it up here. But the performance, I finished this book about 2.5 years ago, so I've had this sitting there for a long time. It's not like there's been a mad rush to get it done immediately before it launches. So, I mean, I enjoy performing. I'm also a musician, and I've in the past made fairly short performances where I project the art from the book and do live storytelling. But I thought it would be fun to do a full 50-minute or one-hour performance. And so I dragged my musical collaborator, Natalia Bing, into performing it with me. So it's been very well received. It's been really nice, actually. We went up to Darwin to the NT Writers Festival and performed it up there in Alice Springs. In August, we're going to be doing a regional tour around Tasmania. I live in Tasmania, so it's... we're going to go fairly remote, actually. We're going to go to Western Tasmania, to Queenstown, the northwest coast. hopefully we'll be able to bring the full performance to Melbourne, but at least at the launches we can do a short excerpt of about 15 minutes from that performance. But yeah.
So what can people expect if they come to the launch in Melbourne?
Well, Bernard Callio, who is a comic maker from Melbourne, but is also, the Callio family come from Salina, the same island as the Santo Spiritus, so I feel like he's like the perfect human, a descendant of the Aeolian Islands, who doesn't necessarily think of himself as Italian, but who also makes comics and also launches lots of comics, and is a great speech maker. He'll be there making a launch speech, mm-hmm. as only he can do. And then Natalia and I will be performing this sort of audio-visual feast of you know, me live storytelling and playing a synthesizer, Natalia playing her violin. She's a classical violinist from the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra, and art from the book will be projected up on the big screen. So it'll be not quite theatre, but not quite just a standard book reading. So it'll
sounds be fun. Really good.
Yeah.
So let's move to the other side of the Museo Italiano, because there's more. Grab my bag and come up the stairs with you. What can we see here? More sketches?
Yeah, this is a wall covered in lots of sketchwork and development work. Comics read very quickly, but they're very labour-intensive to make and to make them function so that they can read quickly.
They look easy, but they're not.
No, they're quite deceptive. There's a lot of scaffolding, I guess, that happens behind the scenes. So And I'm really interested in other comic makers and exposing the process. Mm-hmm. So I've put up a lot of the sketchwork and some paintings which are maybe extra to the book, or there's some film posters from the movie Stromboli, which features in the book. Mm-hmm. There's some work which is the final inked work, which I used to make the end papers for the book, mm-hmm. Which was published by Scribe. In consultation with them, trying to figure out what would work well for the cover, what would work well for the first couple of pages, mm-hmm. acknowledgements pages.
Yep.
And then there's also some tests where I did actually watercolour the book before I decided to not do that.
Yeah, because yeah. That's another deceptively hard thing to do, I guess, to colour it. Have you worked digitally before, or is it the first time you decided to do that?
It's the first large comic I've done where I've actually coloured the book. I've previously mostly just done black line work and published it like that. I wanted to make a full colour book. I did base the colour scheme on ceramic glazes from, from the north of Sicily and what you see on the Aeolian Islands. I've got a photo where I chose all of the colours from that individual photo, and that became the limited colour palette of the book, which I think gives it a bit of character. But watercolouring is, you know, tricky. If you mess up the page, you then have to also redraw all of the line work again, and probably would have added a significant amount of time. So digitally colouring was the smartest way forward, I think.
Easier to try and maybe redo something if you didn't like it, I guess. Yeah, beautiful. Did you teach yourself how to do this, or is it something that you've learned doing a course, or how did you become a graphic novel writer?
Almost by mistake. I never studied art other than just being one of those kids that relentlessly draws. There's quite a few of those in the comics world, actually. I've got friends who make comics, and we constantly compare the way we make things and what's most efficient and, you know, what tools to use. So that's extremely helpful. Doing it by yourself advances in skills and technique is a lot slower, but the only way to make comics is actually just to do them and then learn how complicated they are by doing them, really. So this is my third book, so I feel like I've got my head around some things, and I've done a lot of editing comics, so I've seen a lot of how other people do those sort of things. So one clever way to learn how to make comics is to edit other people's comics or look at other people's process, which is why I like showing people my process, because I think it'll help other comic makers. Yeah.
This is the second time you work on a story that has to do with the origins of your Italian family. Is it a theme that you think you'll explore again, or you'll keep exploring?
It's my second book, yes. I don't know. I do have some other projects in mind which have been bubbling away in the background, this book took me 6 years, and comics that are book length do take a long time. So I think, especially when I'm in my mid-40s now, and if you're going to commit yourself to another 5 or 6 years to a project, you really got to really want to do it. So, and I've done you know, about 7 or 8 years of stories about my family. Maybe it's time to move on. Yeah, it's quite a commitment. Yeah, I haven't fully decided yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But you will be going back to the Aulian Islands at some stage. Is it a place that you kind of think about still now?
It is, but also because I'm still engaged in this book, and you know, now it's finally reaching the public, which is after 6 years of being in a studio by myself, going quietly insane, scratching away at paper or on a screen with. it's, you know, there's a lot of effort in putting on the performance, and you know, I think it's quite at the forefront of my brain at the moment. So it's hard to imagine the next project. Yeah, it's very, fairly all-consuming at this point in time. Still putting up the exhibition in Melbourne. So, but yes, I'd like to return to the Aeolian Islands. I do recommend summer. I've done a few different seasons, and summer is by far the most amazing to be there. It's extremely beautiful, and the most remote islands are probably my favourite as well.
So Alicudi?
Alicudi, Filicudi, they're just extraordinary. And the last time I travelled to the Aeolian Islands, I then caught the ferry to Napoli, and I, you know, I saw what's the island just off Napoli? I'm totally blanking out. It starts with a C.
Capri.
Oh yes, I travelled to Capri, thinking, oh, it'll be similar to the islands, and couldn't believe the crowds. It was overwhelming, and again reinforced to me how special the remoteness of Alicudi and Filicudi really is. It's quite extraordinary.
Have you already met any of your readers who may share your same Aeolian origins so far, or is this going to be the first opportunity in Melbourne?
I think this might be... Ah, no, Christina Neri called me yesterday or the day before. She's a children's book author and a fellow Selena, you know, descendant. She, you know, called me, you know, very generously and gave me lots of compliments, so that was nice. But I think she was the first one, because it only came out in the last 2 weeks, and I haven't necessarily had the time to even have conversations with people yet. So
we'll see what happens when you meet them. I'm sure there will be many who come here in Melbourne. Best of luck, and in bocca al lupo, as we say.
Thank you. Grazie.
You know that expression?
I do. Yeah, yeah.
Because it sounds a bit odd.
Yeah.
Cliccate mi piace, condividete, commentate, seguite SBS Italian su Facebook.